I appreciated Brett Will's sermonette, a good introduction today to my sermon. Now, last Sabbath, we examined, if you'll remember, what Jesus called the first and great commandment. We took a look at what it means to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our whole strength. And for those of you who were there, we met up in Linwood at the new convention center there. I encouraged all of us to set this as our number one goal in this new calendar year of 2007, that there's nothing that is more important than learning to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, our whole strength, as the apostles pointed out to us, and that it's a process, learning to love God, coming to understand how much He loves us. Now, we looked at that scripture that we love Him because He first loved us. And as we grow in understanding the love of God for us, what He's done for us, what He is doing for us, as we come to believe and understand the awesome and incredible love of God for us, the plans that He has for us, you know, we begin then to love Him more and appreciate Him more. It's like children when they're very, very young and they're growing up. They don't fully grasp or understand the love of their parents for them or others. And as they mature and as they get older, children do come as they mature and grow up. They begin to grasp how much parents or family, friends, loved ones, how much they have been loved, how much has been done for them, how much they've been cared for, how much has been invested in them, love, prayers, much finances, and trying to help them with their education and growing up and maturing. So that's a key, critical, critical area where John wrote in, you know, 1 John that we reviewed last Sabbath, that we love God because He first loved us. So let's all make that our number one goal in this coming year, in our prayers every day, to say, God, help me to know You better. Help me to understand You better. Help me to feel Your love and experience Your love and to know how much You love me. Because as we do, you know, our passion for God, and we reviewed that when Jesus used those four different Greek words, you know, one of the Greek words He said was love God with your heart. Remember, we looked at that word in the Greek, and it means with passion, with the heart, cardia, feeling, emotion, passion. So loving God is not some just intellectual thing only. And to love God with our mind, a different Greek word. We love God with our heart. We love God with our mind. It was a different Greek word, and that Greek word means we're to love God with understanding, and yes, with our mind, but not with our mind only. And we're to love God, the scriptures say there, with our soul. And we looked at the Greek word psuche and reviewed that that means like every breath of life. Psuche means your personality, your being. Love God with your soul, with who you are, with your spirit. And then it's in the Gospel of Mark and Luke, where the way they recorded it, you know, in Matthew it says, love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And then in Mark and Luke, it's recorded, love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And we looked at the Greek word there for strength and what it means with not just physical strength only, but it meant with all of your physical and mental and emotional strength, with all of your abilities is what it meant, with your strength. Love God with every ounce of everything that you are and have. Now that's a lot, isn't it, brethren, when you stop and think about it. And Jesus said, that's the number one most important thing in life, is to learn to love our God. So make that our goal, number one goal, as individuals and as a church, to be really praying about this, that we can express our love to God more and show our love to God more, and that it's obvious we love God with our whole heart, mind, being, soul, strength, energy, life, everything that we are. Turn with me today to Matthew 22, and what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what Jesus said was the second great commandment of all the law. First great commandment of all the law is to love God. And let's go to Matthew chapter 22 as we begin today. Matthew 22, we'll pick it up in verse 36, and I'll be focusing on verse 39, but let's get the context here. He's asked, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." And last Sabbath, we went through the other Gospels and read that same instruction. And he said, "This is the first and great commandment, that is, loving God with all your being." And then he added in verse 39, here in Matthew's account of it, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second command, a great commandment of God's law, of all of God's word. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And he's just referring there to the Old Testament. He's referring to the Old Testament scriptures that God's, all of God's laws hinge upon, you know, that we know that the first four of the Ten Commandments just express how to love God with our whole heart, mind, and being. And the last six of the Ten Commandments express in some other points how to love your neighbor with all your heart, mind, and being. So we're going to focus a little bit on this today. How can we all grow even more in loving other human beings, loving people? How much do you love other people? How much do you like being around people? How much do you enjoy coming to church? How much do you enjoy your neighbors and your friends? How much do you enjoy interacting with other human beings? Now, some of you may say, "That's what I love the most." And others of you may say, "Eh, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I can get along without people." You know something? We all could grow in how much we love other people. It's something we must keep growing in. We'll see that today. It's something you can never say, just like, "Well, God, you know, I now love you with all of my energy and all my strength. I love you, God, as much as I'll ever be able to love you. I can't grow anymore in that." Well, we know that's not true. And the same thing with you as you sit here together in this congregation. Can you say that you don't want to grow anymore in loving your fellow man? I don't think any of us feel that way. But let's take a look. Is it possible? How can we grow? How can we, and as we'll see, the importance and emphasis that Jesus put on it, that it's the most important thing. We're going to look at those scriptures where he said, "This is how they will know that you're my disciples." Now, what if you met somebody who said, "Oh, I'm a Sabbath keeper, and I keep the holy days, and I tithe, and I keep the law and the commandments and all of these things." But it was somebody that absolutely had no love at all. They weren't outgoing. They weren't friendly. They weren't loving. They don't visit anybody. They're not giving. They're not serving. And yet, "Oh, well, I keep the Sabbath and the holy days, and I tithe, and I keep all the commandments." You know, they just think they do, don't they? So it's a very, very important subject. It's not that those things aren't important, but we're going to see that what Jesus Christ emphasized, that the law of God, those who are internalizing the law of God, they understand that the commandments are just points that express how to love. It's not you say, "Oh, well, I'm just a letter of the law commandment keeper." As we, through the power and help of God's Spirit in our lives, as we learn that God's objective is for us to become like Him, and where we we are love. You know, where we can't all say that right now. The Bible says God is love. That's the way He is. That's His attitude. It's His character. It's His personality. God is that way. It describes, He is love. I have to ask myself, and you can each ask yourself, if somebody, when somebody thinks of you, your friends especially, people who know you well, anybody who knows you fairly well, when they think of you, what do they think of? What would you like them to think of most of all? Would you, when people think of you, do they think of you? He, she is a loving person. Love radiates from their heart, from their life, from their eyes, from their words. They're a loving person. That's a tremendous compliment if somebody thinks of you in that way, instead of hard-nosed, selfish, unfriendly, comes to church early, or and that's good when you come to church early and leave late, but stay as little as you can. Let's take a look at it today. Turn with me to Mark's gospel. Let's see how he says it. Mark chapter 12. I'm happy to say, brethren, that I know a lot of you, and I know you do want to grow deeply, and that I know this coming year, 2007, if you have written down some goals for your life, and it's wonderful. We all need to be doing that. Leanne and I like to do that. Not that it's God's new year, but we always get a new calendar for our planning calendars. We have to go by that today. So we have our new 2007 calendars, and my wife asked me yesterday, honey, what are your personal goals for this year? And we were talking about it. What do I really want to grow in the most in my life? Because if I don't have a goal, I'm sure not going to reach it, am I? Notice what Mark says, chapter 12, verse 31, where he's quoting, in his words, what Jesus said, verse 31. It says, and the second, speaking of the second great commandment of God, the second, like it, like the first one, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, Jesus said. You know, so that as we get it with the help of God, as God begins to live in us, as we allow Him and want His attitudes, His spirit, His power in our life, as we begin to be motivated more internally, you know, as God's spirit enters our very being, and we begin to be more motivated internally by God and His spirit, we become love. We just begin to love people more, human beings, because we become more like God. There can be no greater goals that you could possibly have in 2007. It's good to have a lot of them. But there could be no greater than to be able to move forward in your life in this way. There are many things we can all do better in. I'd like to take a little closer look at the second and great commandment. Brett Wills already mentioned the word for love here. We all are quite familiar with it, I think, that the Greek word for this kind of love is agape, as he mentioned, the Greek word agape love. And there is a scripture that pretty much spells it out, John 3:16. Let's look at John chapter 3:16. This Greek word agape is it's an action word. When you love, you do something. Notice John 3:16, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Might have this one memorized, I don't know. For God so loved the world, agapeo. It's an action verb. And whenever you say agape love or agapeo, one is the noun, one is the verb, do remember that when you say you love someone, or if you love God, or you love your children, or you love your dog, you love your neighbor, that it means it's action. How do you show that love? It isn't, I love you and nothing happens. For God so loved the world that he gave, didn't he? He gave. He did something. And it goes on to say, he gave his only begotten Son, the one who became Jesus Christ, who was the Word, who was with him from the very beginning. He gave his only begotten Son. Why? That whoever would come to believe in him would live forever, would not perish, but live forever. That, to me, expresses the kind of love that is talked about here as much as anything in all the Bible. God's love is totally unselfish, as we heard. This kind of love that we're going to be talking about, partly this kind of love, but we're going to take a little deeper look at love and loving others, what it means to love your neighbor, how to love your neighbor, how to grow in loving others. This agape love, this godly love, is totally unselfish, and it is willing to sacrifice for others. I think that's one of the important things. This love is unselfish and always willing to sacrifice to help and serve others for the good of others. It typifies agape love, God's love. It's faithful, constant, consistent, unselfish, and always willing to sacrifice for others. That's God's love for the good of others. Okay, so as we go through, then, you shall love your neighbor. What does neighbor mean when you read that commandment? You know, we tend to think, well, the person lives next door to me, my neighbor. It's broader than that. I think we all understand that. What Christ is talking about here is all others. You shall love not only God with your whole heart, mind, and being, but you shall love all others, all your neighbors, everybody, as much as you love yourself, as yourself. So when we look at neighbor, turn with me and we'll see the degree to which he took this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 48. Thing of love is our greatest challenge. It's the greatest challenge in the world today. Matthew chapter 5. This has always been an incredible thing to strive to accomplish in our lives. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You know, this is quoted back from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 in the Old Testament. So he's quoting from the Old Testament law, you shall love your neighbor. And hate your enemy. In verse 44, Jesus went on to say, but I say to you, you know, he said, I am here now, God's Son, God in the flesh. I say to you, I'm bringing you God's way. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Now, as I read this, let's all think about it in our lives. Let's think about those who we might consider to be our enemies, those who don't like us, those who have hurt us, those who have persecuted us, whoever you might think of as an enemy, in or out of the church. Jesus said, and this is under the thing of learning to love our neighbors, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Now, that's not easy to do. It's not normal at all. It is not normal to do good to somebody who's done evil to you, who hates you. Probably very few people in or out of the church do that one. It takes a lot of God's Spirit, a lot of conversion, deep conversion, the mind and attitude of Jesus. And he goes on, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. How many of us do that? Do you have a list? Sure, we pray for the sick. We pray for members of the church. We pray for the brethren. We pray for one another, which we should. But do we have a list, another list we pray for, of people that have been our enemies and we don't even like to think of, much less pray about or for? God's way is amazing. But that's what Jesus said. He goes on. He said, you know, you're to do this in verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. But look at what God does. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? People who are carnal and unconverted can do that. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore you shall be or become perfect. And some translations, we can't be perfect in this life, in the flesh. We all know that. We want to be. We've been at it for decades, some of us in the church, wanting to be perfect. We always fall short. It means more, be mature. And there is a translation, the New English Bible translate that, you shall be mature. And I mean, ultimately, we know we're going to become perfect like God when we're changed. The day we're changed is when we will be perfect, like God is perfect in heaven. That's our goal. Now we're working at it. We're growing. We're wanting to be that way and become that way. So you think about what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. That includes not just the friendly neighbors, not just those who like you. It includes everybody. This is a deep love, isn't it? It's an amazing thing. I have a lot of growing to do in this. How about you? How about you? You can say, nah, I hate my enemies and that's all there is to it. Jesus changed that for God's people, for Christians, for those of us who want to grow and become like Jesus Christ and like God and hope to be able to rule the world with Jesus Christ when he comes. Let's take another look. This is one scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We looked at what that word love means. We looked at what the word neighbor means. Let's take a look at what it means. What did Jesus mean when he says, as yourself? This has been very controversial. Some people just want to drop that off at the end. Just love your neighbor. They don't like that, as yourself, because you're supposed to hate yourself, aren't you? I know some who believe that. I know some people who do hate themselves. And the fact that they hate themselves shows it's very hard for them to love anybody else because they hate themselves. Now, we know where to hate sin, and where to hate sin within ourselves, and where to hate our human nature when it's sinful and evil and wrong. But let's just go to another scripture that talks about loving yourself God's way, the way God loves us. You know, we should love ourselves the way God loves us. And you have to come to know, God loves me. Why does God love me? Because he created me in his image. He made me in his own image, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, in every way. He created me to become like him. God created each of us with tremendous potential for the future. All of our children, all of us. We're to come to learn to love ourselves as God loves us. We know there's a lot of not good stuff in us. David Holliday made that plain in last message he gave. You know, we all know we have stuff in our lives, bad stuff that we need to, with God's help, to root out. And that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to grow, aren't we? Get rid of Satan's influence in our lives and, with God's help, overcome addictions and problems that we have with God's help and mercy and grace. It's a lifetime process. You know, God, when God decides to open our minds and bring us into his church, or if we're born into his church and we grow up in his church, you know, God knew everything about you from the beginning, before you ever knew he knew you. You know, God knew everything about you and your background, every detail. So he knew what he was doing when he called you and brought you, made you a part of the body of Jesus Christ. But turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. So just want to let you know, I do understand and the scriptures that talks about human nature being deceitful and evil and carnal and the carnal nature. We know all that's in there. And so we know God created us as human beings imperfect, and that much of the evil comes from the influence of Satan the devil in the world today, that he puts evil thoughts into our minds and lusts. And our part is sometimes we give into that and we allow it to happen, and we don't say, no, I will not think that thought, I will not do that deed. No, we think about it, we feel it, we entertain it, we let it happen, don't we? We let it, you know, like watching a movie. Sometimes we know that's a lousy movie. I mean, I love movies, I go to movies. I'm not one that says you should never go to a movie, you know. But what you've got to do is you've got to filter everything you see and hear through God's word and with God's spirit, and you've got to discern and know that's rotten, that's wrong, that's bad, that stinks, that's not of God. And we've got to know, we've got to recognize, and to be able to block that from becoming something we accept and get used to as what's happening in the world today. So we can say no. But Ephesians chapter 5, we're going there. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verses 28 and 29. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here's what this one says. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Same words, same Greek. He who loves his wife loves himself. You love yourself. Notice what Paul wrote in verse 29. No one ever hated his own flesh. His own body is what he's talking about. Now, he's talking about, you know, normal people in their right minds. I mean, people can get so screwed up today with Satan's influence especially, and the damage, serious damage, as they're growing up. They're not normal. And there are some people who have grown up, and they do hate their own flesh, and they do commit suicide. They kill themselves because they hate themselves. But Paul says, God didn't create it that to be that way. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. And the Greek means protects, cares for. Cares for, protects, cherishes, nourishes. That even in the English language today, we understand what it means to nourish something and to cherish it. It's special, it's important. Just as the Lord does the church, the Lord nourishes the church. And so our bodies are a type of the spiritual body. And we are. Now, there's a very, very important understanding here. At least I know when it entered my mind that, yeah, I've got a lot of bad things that I've had to overcome in my life, sins, addictions, problems, etc., and that God has helped me with his spirit over the years to do that. And to fight and battle against Satan's influence and weaknesses of the flesh. But to come to the understanding that I am to love others, love my neighbor, love my wife, and then I stop and think, you know, as I think we all could do that, I stop and think at how much time and energy I put into taking care of myself. Right? I mean, each of you probably do this. We should, I hope. I mean, I exercise regularly. I watch what I eat, try to be careful with my diet. I take vitamins and minerals and nutrients. I study that subject to try to be in harmony with God's laws so that I can be healthy as I grow older and be able to keep going and serving and helping other people. You know, I get my sleep. I love to get my rest and my sleep. I think of all the things that I do to take care of myself. That's not wrong, is it? I mean, it's not good when you run into somebody who doesn't take care of themselves. Let's say they never brush their teeth. They never take a shower, take a bath. They don't clean up. They have dirty clothes, whatever. What goes through your mind? So I start thinking, okay, Dennis Luker, you think of the amount of time that you spend eating, sleeping, wearing the right clothes, stay warm, cleaning up, stay healthy, doing all the things that are necessary to take care of yourself. And the Bible says that we're to learn to love others and try to help others as that much. Let's go to one more scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm just thinking, boy, if I can learn to love others and reach out to them and help them and make sure they've got food to eat, make sure they have adequate clothing, make sure they've got a home and warmth, make sure that they're encouraged. If I can be motivated with God's Spirit to do that for others as much as I do it for myself, then I'm beginning to keep the second great commandment. I'm not just so selfishly focused on making sure that I'm healthy and clean and comfortable, that I don't have time for others. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So each of us, don't we? I'm asking you today then, as a goal for 2007, we each have to look at our own lives, set our own goals, and then go to God and say, God, this is what I want to really grow in this next year. I want to become more loving and giving of myself to you, to others, this coming year. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. We're still in this part of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And as we know from the Greek, it would be better rendered, the Holy Spirit is not a third person of the Godhead. It is the power of God, the energy of God, the love of God, the mind, the nature of God. The Holy Spirit radiates from God. So it should be which is in you, which you have from God. You are not your own. Verse 20 says, you were bought at a price. We were bought and paid for by the sacrifice of Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his suffering. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I'm emphasizing that today, and in your spirit, which are God's. So when we come to then understand that what God wants us to do, that we belong to him, we're bought and paid for by him, that everything we do, we're to strive to glorify him, that we're to learn to love each other and love even our neighbors and other people, whether in the church or not, that doesn't really, we're going to take a look at love for the brethren. That's where I'm going to focus and end up on my sermon on. And we're going to show that there's another kind of love. We're going to examine that a little bit more deeply. We know there's the love for even our enemies, but we're going to look a little bit more today at brotherly love, the philia love, the affection that you can have for brethren and should have for brethren. But this broader love, this greater love, this unselfish, sacrificing love of God, this love that will love everybody, even with this love, you can even love people you don't like. That seems like a oxymoron, right? But it isn't. With the love of God, if that's in your heart, you might not like that person, but you can pray for them, and you can meet them with love, and you can hope that someday they repent, and that they change their lives, and that they're going to be in God's kingdom. You know, you can love them, even though you don't like them, even though they've maybe hurt you. With God's help, you can love them, just like he has loved us, thankfully. Let's go back to James chapter 2 and verse 8. James 2, 8. But it's interesting the way James has put this, and he calls it the royal law of God. James chapter 2, verse 8. He wrote, if you, and this is the way it is in the New King James Version, that's what I'm using, the New King James Bible, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, he said, you do well. You know, it shows that there's a lot of room for growth and improvement, isn't there, in this one? And if we really fulfill this royal law of God according to the scripture, according to what Christ himself said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. All right. I know we all know it's important. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 now. I know we know it's important. I just want to really try to motivate and inspire and encourage you. If you don't have that on your goals for 2007, put it there. And every single day, if you don't have time to pray for anything else or about anything else, ask God to help you to have this that day. And your interactions with everybody else, with your family, with your friends, with everyone else. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Paul said this, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, to everyone. That's God's way. And we all want to be doing it. Many of you do. Many of you serve in a lot of ways in your community, in your schools, in different areas and in different ways. You reach out to those around you. I know some of you are very good at that. As we have opportunity, let's do good to everybody, our immediate neighbors, and keep thinking of ways that we can do good. And then Paul adds, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so he adds, but especially do good to the brethren, to the church. That's what the household of faith is, especially to them. Because this is what Jesus stressed and emphasized. So for the remainder of my sermon and 15 or 20 minutes here, I want to focus on the importance that Jesus put on loving one another as brethren. You all know what he said, and to save just a little bit of time here, it's in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Some of the final words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he was going to die, before he was going to be crucified, before he was going to be killed. Now, maybe we ought to read it. It's so important. I think it would be good just to turn there and read it. At John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now, that part is not new. What is new here, I think you understand, and you probably have that. What is new here, because the Old Testament said you're to love your neighbor as yourself. What is new is that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what's new in the commandment. Not that you're to love your neighbor, but you are to love one another as I have loved you. He set an example for those disciples of what it means to really love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So whether it's keeping the Sabbath, that's important, but it's how we do it, isn't it? How we keep it. Does love flow from our lives and from our homes? Do our neighbors say, well, I don't understand why you go to church on Saturday or why you believe that is the day to go to church? But you are a loving person, and you're a loving neighbor, and you're a loving friend in the neighborhood, and we appreciate you. Let love show that they'll know you're a loving neighbor, a loving person, a loving being. They may not understand the other for a while. This is how they'll know you are my disciples, this kind of love. Notice John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. John 15, beginning in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Again, he repeats it, the new commandment that he gave them, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, for those he loves. But if that's what we're talking now, he's beginning to talk about the brethren. Now, let's look at a few scriptures. It's interesting, Brett was bringing this out. I'm going to focus on a few scriptures now that use where Jesus and the apostles are using a different word when they talk about love. So far, the word is the agape love, a godly love, that will love people you don't even like because you love them as a human being the way God loves them as a human being. You have that love for people. Now, it's important to understand. Let's go to John chapter 16. Now, the Greek word that we're going to look at that is being used, that is translated love, is not agape or agapeo. It's not talking about that divine godly love. John 16, verse 27, where Jesus said, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." He's talking now about his disciples who really got to know him and knew him personally, who walked with him 3.5 years. Well, you may know, maybe you've looked it up yourself. You can learn to do this if you want. The Greek word here is not agape love. It's philia, phileo, philio. It's a Greek word that means more friendship love. It's a Greek word that means to have a special affection for. Now you stop and think about it. Even within the church and even with the brethren, we all love one another. I love all of you, every one of you. I love all the brethren in God's church, everywhere. I can't think of anybody I don't love. I can think of some people I haven't liked, maybe too well. You probably have too, you know. Somebody walks up to me and years ago and told me, this was way back in Ambassador College, but you don't forget things like that. He just looked at me and said, "I don't like you." Never forgotten that. I kind of, bolt out of the blue. I don't know why he didn't like me, but he didn't. What we're talking about here is enhancing, you've got the love of God. But what is so important in growing in love, brethren, is this, that we as God's brethren, God's people, we need to grow in this affection. It's there's more emotion. And looking up again, it was that agape love involves the whole personality, and it's an act of will. It's an act of character. And it's constant, and it's always there regardless. Whereas the Greek word philio, brotherly love and affection, involves more emotion. It's more, well, I love that person, even though he hates me and persecutes me and does everything he can to make life miserable for me, I still love him. That's agape love. But I sure don't have philia for him. Philia love is when there's someone that there's, you think of them or you see them, and there's just a special bond of affection, a feeling, a deeper feeling for them. There's something there, a kindred spirit. There's two people that click. It's an affectionate love, a friendship love. And that you do not extend to just everybody. You don't have that with we don't even all have that with everybody in the church, because developing and growing in that way, it's an investment of time, right? It's an investment of time. So you have to ask yourself, who are your closest friends in the church? Those that you have a special affection for, a special brotherly love for. I hope you want to really grow. I hope those of you, and I would be that way by nature if it weren't for God, some of us tend to be loners. We're just, hey, I'm a loner. I live alone. I like being alone. I want to be alone. I don't need people. I don't need friends. The answer to that is you're wrong. A person's got a problem. Maybe they don't know it. Maybe they don't want to know it. But they do, because God says that we, as God's people, as his people, if we're part of his church, we got to be moving forward and changing and growing. and sometimes breaking out of our ruts is not easy, but God's love will bring that about. Let's just look at a few other scriptures. So here's one right here where Jesus Christ, he could have used agape love. Oh, God loves you. But God more than just has an agape love for us. God wants a friendship. God wants an affectionate relationship with us, not just an intellectual one. And that's what Jesus was developing with his own disciples. He says, because you disciples, Jesus saying, because you have filial loved me. Let's look at another scripture using it, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, first two verses. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. That's just kind of an introduction to verse 2. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Again, the Holy Spirit of God inspired John to use the word that described the love that Jesus had for this other disciple, John. He had a similar love for Peter too, as we're going to see. Sometimes we don't think about Jesus as a man with the 12 apostles, that some of them he may have been a little closer to than others. I think it probably makes sense. He was close to all of them and he loved all of them. But the Greek word here is filial love, a special affectionate love for, a special friendship for. Let's go to chapter 21. And verse 17. Here it's talking, he and Peter are having this discussion. Just pick up verse 17. And he said to him the third time, you know, he's asking Peter, do you love me? He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And again, it's interesting, the Greek word is, you know, he did use earlier one time the Greek word agapeo. Now, do you have a godly love for me? Agapeo love. And then Jesus came back and he said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And he used a different word. So Peter would have known the difference. It wasn't the English word love. He said, do you filial me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Filial. He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And it happens to have in the margin of the New King James Bible here, it takes you down and it says the Greek means to have an affection for. Peter, do you have an affection for me? Do you have passion for me? Do you really love me? Like your dearest friend, your most special, important friend? Or is it just, it's okay, I mean, agape love, but that's even for enemies. How about this other love that God wants with his children and wanted with his disciples and wants with us and that we should want with each other? Where we're willing to invest the time and be in church and visit with each other and communicate with each other. And you all know, you've been around a long time, most of you. You know what I'm talking about. How many in the Church of God, when you think of them, you really think of them, well, that person wasn't perfect and had a lot of faults, but one thing they could say, I know they loved God, and I know they loved the brethren in the church. I know they loved others, and they didn't forsake them, they didn't leave them, they didn't run away from them, they didn't quit, because they loved God and they loved the brethren. To me, how can you say I love the brethren when I'm not going to go to church, I'm sick and tired of it all, I'm sick and tired of that. It's, I don't need the brethren and love the brethren. I've been hurt enough. Forget it all. That's not love for the brethren. It isn't there. Mainly, it's so much love for self. I can't stand this pain. I can't stand what's going on. I'm just going to escape it all. So people are doing that. There's no love for the brethren, or very little. That's the way I see it through the scriptures. that people who love God and love the brethren, they're going to be working in the church of God as a whole, all the groups, they're going to be working for love, striving for unity. They're going to be striving for love, and they're going to be praying about this. Because they know that we're supposed to have an affectionate love for the brethren. And we're not the only brethren in the United Church of God. I'm going to close with just a couple scriptures in Colossians. Turn there with me to the book of Colossians. And what I want to show you here is that it is love. Put it all together, agape, philia, love, that is going to bring unity. It isn't the doctrines, is it? I mean, that's important. But you look at all the different groups of people out there who would say, oh, we keep the Sabbath, we keep the holy days, we believe Christ is coming back, we believe in the kingdom, we believe in this, we believe in that, and we're all basically the same. And yet we're all divided and disagreeing, and it's all because of a lack of love. It's because of huge egos, people's attitudes, problems. Some love their own following, some love to be independent, where's the love for the brethren? Where's the love to say, let's humble ourselves and love? Notice Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, as we wind this up, where Paul wrote, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and if any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you know, we're to forgive. Even so, you must do. And then verse 14 is what I'm leading to. And above all these things, Paul says, the great apostle, above all these things, they're important. Above all of them, he says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And the Greek means the bond that unites. In fact, that's the way the NIV, my wife's reading it, and she's shaking her head, yes. The NIV translation translates that, the love, it binds in perfect unity. That's how they translate that. That love binds in perfect unity, the love of God. So what we're lacking in our lives and in the church of God is we're lacking the love of God and the brotherly love for one another. Too much vanity and ego, and we're important, you're important. It's just not there, is it, brethren? And how about in your life? You know, I can't point my finger at others. I've got to make sure that I reflect the love of God. I don't always. The Amplified Bible, I looked at several other Bibles, how this Greek word is translated. The Amplified Bible is an interesting one. It goes through every verse of the Bible, but right in the Bible itself, it'll give you other English words from the Greek. And so it translates chapter 3, verse 14 this way. Above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together in ideal harmony. So love is the bond that brings together an ideal harmony and unity. Because even if there are little doctrinal differences and individual matters of conscience and practice, love dominates, love overpowers. Love isn't, well, you're wrong and I'm right. I'm right and you're wrong. Because we all are doing what we believe is right from the heart before God. But love is critically, vitally important. Love doesn't compromise. I'm not talking about compromising with sin or anything we really know is right at all. It's not what I'm talking about. But the love of God, it's an attitude, it's a spirit, it's a frame of mind. It's what counts. And over here in chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says in verse 2, speaking of God's people, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. You know, what knits us together is love. Now, if you meet somebody in any other group of the Church of God or any other church in the world or anywhere else, And they're a person who is trying to grow in love for God as they understand, and for their fellow man, it'll be somebody that you could connect with and relate to. Because, yeah, I mean, they may have a set of beliefs that they're obeying just like we do, and we're very convicted of what we believe. We're not about to compromise God's law and Sabbath, the holy days, his commandments, or any of those things. We're going to be faithful and remain faithful to those things in our lives. But more than anything else, brethren, when that day comes, and it will come, when we finally all stand before God, before Jesus Christ, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear most? If he looks at you and he says, you know, he says, you did well. You read the Bible. He said it was plain and clear. I told you, and I told it to the church and all of you, that the most important thing that you can do in all the law and the prophets and the word of God is to love God with all your heart and mind, and you did it. And I said the second and great commandment in all the Bible is for you to keep learning to love your fellow man, your neighbor, especially the brethren. And you did that. And so despite all your mistakes and the errors you're wrong, you did it. You prayed and you sought that with all your heart. Brethren, it's very important. So this year, as we move, it moves along, I just want to encourage you, if you fall short in any other thing in your life that you're working on, don't fall short in growing in your love for God and in your love for your neighbor.